Welcome to episode 485 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. For more than 2 years, during his third missionary journey, the Apostle Paul ministered in Asia Minor among the people of Ephesus. This was a successful period of ministry for the Apostle to the Gentiles, who saw many converts among both residents of Ephesus and visitors to the city. One of the visitors converted under Paul's teaching was a man named Philemon, a slave owner from the nearby city of Colossae. In the Bible book that bears Philemon's name, Paul addresses his beloved brother as a fellow worker, a title given to those who served for a period of time alongside Paul. Gospel writers Mark and Luke also received this title later in the same letter. Clearly, a kinship existed between Paul and Philemon, one that would serve a significant purpose in light of the circumstances that brought about the letter. The letter to Philemon is the shortest of all Paul's writings and deals with the practice of slavery. The letter suggests that Paul was in prison at the time of the writing. Philemon was a slave owner who also hosted a church in his home. Onesimus was a slave who was considered property of Philemon. He robbed his master and ran away from Colossae to Rome in the hope that he could disappear into that populous urban environment. Once in Rome, Onesimus, either by accident or by his own design, came in contact with Paul, who promptly led the runaway slave to faith in Christ. Paul had already been planning to send a letter to the Colossian church by the hand of Tychicus. So in AD 60 or 61, from a prison cell in Rome, Paul wrote a personal letter to Philemon. Onesimus was considered a runaway and had outstanding obligations to Philemon. In this epistle, Paul wrote to smooth the way for the slave's return to his master. Through Paul's witnessing to him, Onesimus had become a Christian, and Paul wanted Philemon to accept Onesimus as a brother in Christ and not merely as a slave. Paul wrote the letter and sent Onesimus back to Colossae. Paul had warned slave owners that they had a responsibility towards their slaves, and asserted that slaves were responsible moral beings who were to fear God. In Philemon, Paul did not condemn slavery, but he presented Onesimus as a Christian brother instead of a slave. When an owner can refer to a slave as a brother, the slave has reached a position in which the legal title of slave is pretty much meaningless. The early church did not attack slavery directly, but it laid the foundation for a new relationship between owner and slave. Paul attempted to unite both Philemon and Onesimus with Christian love so that emancipation would become necessary. Only after exposure to the light of the gospel could the institution of slavery die. The letter to Philemon reminds us that God's revelation to humanity is intensely personal. In more formal biblical works, such as the Gospels, or the Epistle to the Romans, or even Paul's letters to churches at Philippi or Colossae, it might be easy to get the impression that God does not care or have time for the trials and tribulations in a single household. Philemon stands as one piece of strong evidence to the contrary, revealing that lofty doctrines such as the love of God, forgiveness in Christ, or the inherent dignity of humanity have real and pertinent impact in everyday life. The book of Philemon illustrates that principles like these can and should profoundly affect the lives of believers. Perhaps nowhere in the New Testament is the distinction between law and grace so beautifully portrayed. Both Roman law and the Mosaic law of the Old Testament gave Philemon the right to punish a runaway slave who was considered property. But the covenant of grace through Jesus allowed both master and slave to fellowship in love on an equal basis in the body of Christ. Paul's message to Philemon was a simple one. based on the work of love and forgiveness that had been wrought in Philemon's heart by God, show the same to the escaped and now believing slave, Onesimus. The apostle's message would have had extra force behind it because he knew Philemon personally. Paul had explained the gospel to Philemon and had witnessed the profound result, new life blossoming in a once dead heart. Paul knew that conversion is nothing to trifle with, but that it should be honored and fostered. So Paul made a request. He wanted Philemon to forgive Onesimus, to accept the slave as a brother in Christ, and to consider sending Onesimus back to Paul as the apostle found him useful in God's service. Paul did not minimize the sin of Onesimus. This was not some kind of cheap grace that Paul asked Philemon to offer. No, there was sacrifice required in this request. And because of that, Paul approached the topic with gentleness and care. His letter to Philemon presents in full color the beautiful and majestic transition from slavery to kinship that comes as a result of Christian love and forgiveness. Philemon is one of the four so-called prison epistles. The other three are Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. These are so named because they were written by the Apostle Paul during one of his incarcerations. It is generally accepted that Paul wrote these letters during his first Roman imprisonment. The exact date he wrote each of them is unknown, but the two-year period he spent under house arrest in Rome has been narrowed down to the years AD 60 to 62. While the prison epistles reflect Paul's earthly position as a prisoner of Rome, he makes it clear that his captivity was first and foremost to Christ. Paul's time in prison was for the purpose of spreading the gospel in the Gentile capital of Rome. The Lord himself told Paul to take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Paul's time in captivity is no less profitable to us today than it was to the first century churches he loved so well. Employers, political leaders, corporation executives, and parents can follow the spirit of Paul's teaching by treating Christian employees, co-workers, and family members as fellow members of Christ's body. Christians in modern society must not view helpers as stepping stones to enable them to achieve their ambitions, but as Christian brothers and sisters who must receive gracious attention. In addition, all Christian leaders must recognize that God holds them accountable for the treatment of those who work for them, whether the helpers are Christians or not. They must eventually answer to God for their actions. Colossians 4 verse 1, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Live long enough, and you will understand the difficulty of offering forgiveness when you have been wronged. It does not come easy. It is believers we have to recognize that our ability and willingness to offer it are the result of Christ's saving work on the cross. Because of that fact, forgiveness serves as a determining factor in who we say we are and how we hope to live our lives. When we do not forgive, bitterness takes root in our hearts and chokes the vitality out of us. In what ways has forgiveness been a struggle for you since you accepted Christ's forgiveness? Allow Paul's letter to Philemon to encourage forgiveness in your own life, and trust God to foster renewed life in your heart and in your relationships. Father, thank you for the gifts of grace and forgiveness. Help us to be generous in forgiving others. Help us also, like Paul, to be captive to the gospel, committed to bringing others to a saving knowledge of you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.